Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, I hope all of you had a wonderful 4th of July and you're enjoying this hot summer weather. Nicole, how's life been for you?
I'm sorry, what was that, Cindy? I'm still working on my issues over here.
Oh, how has life been treating you?
Oh, life was actually treating me just dandy. Everything is going very, very well. And Cindy, I think I'm actually on now, so I think I could actually do what I'm supposed to be doing for you. I think I just cleared everything up. But again, no, life was good. I had a great 4th of July. Actually, you would have been very, very proud of me this week because, you know, as you've always told me, whatever, sometimes, you know, like I question a little too much or whatever, and sometimes I don't really rely on my intuition and, you know, on like the cosmic or whatever. I always kind of like need things like black and white, cut and dry sometimes. But actually, my girlfriend was feeling a little bit funky for you know, the last few days and everything, just kind of stagnant or whatever, just personally, like nothing with us or anything of that nature, you know, just regarding her career and other things. And I actually gave her a reading last night, and we Ooh. Broke it down, and I was actually able to not only just tell her what the cards meant in the spread that I did, but I was actually, you know, for the first time in a very, very long time, because I hadn't really been doing my meditations the way that I should. But for the first time in a long time, I was actually able to look at the tarot, and I was able to look at the cards laid out and see the references back to, from one card to another, and actually see the story that was unfolding. So that was, like, really, really cool. I was like, wow. So it was awesome or whatever.
And actually, the longer you do it, the longer you look at it, the more it
happens. Totally. Well, you know what I mean? Because a lot of people don't realize that, you know, what a card might mean one thing, but if you look at the position of the card, if you look even where some of the mannerisms of the people on the card are pointing, they're usually pointing to another card in the spread. You know, so depending on the position or whatever, you could actually, like refer over to that card. It's like, oh, look, you know, and what I had effectively done, which I was so proud of myself for doing, was when I looked back, she got, like, in the spread that I did or whatever, you know, we did her current situation, we did, you know, and then, you know, like the next card was things going for her, the next card was things, you know, working against her, and then it was, you know, like her current state of mind versus her current subconscious mind, and then, you know, her possible immediate future. And what I had effectively done was, as I told her what everything meant, I said, now watch one thing. If you keep looking to the past and all the cards relating to the past and in her conscious mind, they were all negative, you know, it was all more negative connotation. It was all, you know, the obstacles that she was facing. Meanwhile, when she went into the subconscious mind and the possible immediate future, it was all positive and it was all, you know, abundance and things of that nature or whatever. So she actually saw it firsthand, which was, like, really, really awesome. And a lot of that I learned from you. So thank you very much. She feels a lot better today.
Oh, good. And I'm glad. And that's what tarot is about. It's kind of looking at things. And when I look at the cards, it's almost like gazing into a crystal ball, because the first round, they give me one message. As I'm looking at them for the next hour, and sometimes I won't even have people shuffle any more cards, I'll just keep seeing a different shifting kaleidoscope with every question asked. So,
yep.
You know, if you look at them, they just keep shifting, and they are a remarkable tool. And I absolutely love the tarot. And everyone would do well to, like, study it a little bit, because the symbolisms are fascinating, and it's just a fascinating study in symbolism, and, you know, it's just wonderful. I love it. And I know we have like a lot of
We really do.
And you didn't get to screen any, correct?
So. Of course I did not. Yeah, I was too busy trying to fix things here because, as we told everybody last week, Blog Talk Radio had changed their little switchboard up on us, and they gave us a studio as opposed to just a regular switchboard. And for some reason, wherever I was today, and I'm talking like four different computers, the studio was not compatible with the software available. So at the last possible minute, of course, me in the dying hour, I had to go and start upgrading things and doing a whole bunch of other things to try to get on the air tonight. So hopefully my switchboard will...
Doesn't it have a neat little feature, though, right on it, where we I just, like, clicked onto Facebook to send it immediately that we're live right now?
Yes, yes, it does. It has those little, what are they called? They're called widgets. So they're actually very, very cool that if you have a Facebook or if you have a Blog Talk account or if you have a Twitter account, that you can just check those and then hit send, and it automatically sends a message from you on the air to, you know, your fan base that are following you on those mediums and telling them that, you know, that, hey, you're on the radio, come check you out. So... that's also good. And what I like also about this one is, Cindy, on this one you actually get to see when I screen a caller. So you can actually see, you know, everything that I'm doing on my end that wasn't always available before. So it has a lot of great features, and unfortunately they required a lot of upgrades, though. So.
Well, we did it. Now, I think we should go right over the first call.
You got it. And so they know that we are speaking to them. We are going to go to the 410 area code, and we are going to go, the last four digits are 2722. Hello, you're
there. Hi
there.
Oh, hi. How wonderful. My name is
You're calling from Maryland? Is that where you are?
Yes, very good.
Okay.
Very good.
So the weather must be steamy there because it's steamy in New York.
It's so hot here. It's so just, it's so bad. Yeah. And I, you know, I know it's worse in other parts of the country, so I won't complain.
No, but I know it's been a little bit warm. And your first name is?
Maria.
Maria. And, well, I'm sure you've been waiting a long time for to get your psychic advice. So did you have a specific question you wanted to ask us?
I did. I wanted to know... what Simi thought of this guy named Juan, and I just want to know what he thinks of me and what his perspective is.
And how long has Juan been in your life?
Just a couple of months.
Okay, because Juan, you know, is a guy who cares about you, but he's definitely, afraid to make that commitment. Are you just... you know, right now, dating, it's not like the R word, it's not a relationship?
You know, it's the weird thing is when I see him, he's very interested in me, but there's a big space between communications, and I don't know if it's because his culture is different than mine, and, you know, I'm used to the guy calling, and I have called him before, but I always feel like, oh, I'm the one that calls him, then he calls me back, and then it goes from there, but I have this idea in my head that if he's interested, he'll pursue you and he'll call more often. But then when I do see him, he appears very interested. So
no,
very
he's definitely interested. There's a little bit of fear here. How old are you, by the way?
I'm 37 and he's 38.
Okay, because it's a little bit of a commitment issue here, and it's pretty common in your generation. You know, he cares about you. He thinks about you. He actually finds you to be a very independent woman that he admires, by the way. And if he was ready to settle down, you would probably be the kind of woman he would want. For you, I'm seeing in the future, you know, a husband and children. Is that what you want?
Very much so, yeah.
Okay, and so you can't waste too much time with Juan if he can't sort of come to the plate. Have you had the talk about being in a relationship with him yet?
Well, he's told me that he isn't looking for a relationship, which to me is, you know, he got out of a 7-year relationship a couple years ago that ended very badly. And to me, when someone says that, I know that it can be legitimate, but I also know it can mean I'm not looking for a relationship with you.
No, it actually means I'm not looking for a relationship. And these people who are commitment phobics think they get off the hook with us because they tell us from the beginning, I don't want a relationship. You heard it, and so why are you still hanging around? And you know, if you're looking for a committed relationship, you're probably wasting your time with him. Because he isn't going to come around anytime soon here. You know, this could be going on for, like, you know, a long time the way it is. And what I see in the future for you is a soulmate who's ready to commit to you, a man who makes good money, who'll be your husband and the father of your children. But you were a little bit afraid because you got out of your 7-year relationship. So it looked like, you know, you were afraid of a little of commitment too. So,
but that
you know,
was him.
Maybe
that was him,
was,
not me. That
but,
was him. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
But, I mean, but you're a little bit afraid now because of that. Do you know what I mean? You've gotten hurt. So you didn't start out as a commitment phobic, but now you're like sort of a closet one, a little bit afraid. And so Juan is a good stepping stone back into relationships for you. But he's safe because in some ways he said he wasn't looking for a relationship. At this point, you want if you want to be honest with him and tell him, look, you know, I'm really looking for someone who wants to commit to me and have a relationship. If, you know, if the, I don't think it's you and I need to move on. It'll give him an opportunity to realize he would miss you and perhaps come to the plate for you. But otherwise, it's going to drift like this a long time. And you do have a biological clock ticking. So
yeah.
You can't really, you know, I mean, you can't waste 5 years with him, you know.
Is 5 years what you mean by a long time?
Well, 5 years where he won't be committing. Do you know what I'm saying? Where it could go back and forth. And
wow, he would take
you know,
that. He would take that long.
Yeah, he's really, you know, really, really not looking for a relationship right now. And again, if you think you're going to change him, maybe you could by letting him know you are looking for one, and just take 2 feet out. No, you know, no texting, no talking, and see if he comes to you. If he doesn't, you're going to be brought another soulmate very quickly. I mean, this is really heart, soul, mind, body, love. And what you're learning is soulmate love without commitment is pain. You learned that from your last relationship.
Yes.
And, you know, this is a similar man in some ways. And, you know, you're a person who you're not being fully honest if you're not telling him that you are looking for a relationship. And I would advise you to tell that to anyone you're dating. You know, you really are looking for that commitment. Let them run in the beginning, you know. And, you know, he does care about you. If he were to settle down, you would be the kind of woman he wants. So he does give you a little bit mixed messages. You know, he brings you close, and then he doesn't call or anything.
Why do you have so much space in time between the time that we speak? It'll be, you know.
That's a commitment-phobic thing. They actually artificially limit how often they talk or will see you. Even if he wants to see you, this is what commitment-phobics do. Even if he misses you like crazy and wants to talk to you, he forces himself not to. Because they're artificially trying to control how close you get. So
well,
it really is an engineered decision on their part.
My feeling on him wasn't that he necessarily is Mr. Right, but I hate to say this, but maybe he could be Mr. Right now, because it's been a while since I've been in a relationship, and I, you know, thought, well, let's just try this as a stepping stone. So how can I get to the point where he can be Mr. Right now?
Okay, that's you now. First of all, you guys are soulmates. Not all soulmates are meant to last forever. You and Juan might be transition soulmates, ones to make you realize you want a committed relationship, maybe one when you leave him for him to suffer and realize he wanted one. But it was a stepping stone for you. But you have to be honest with him and tell him, look, you told me from the beginning you didn't want a relationship. And that's perhaps how I felt at the time. But now I'm really looking for somebody who wants to commit. And if that can't be you, then I have to move forward. And in saying that honestly, the universe will bring you that soulmate. You do have to say our soulmate prayer, to pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to be a soulmate who can love and commit back. And if it's Juan, so be it. If not, then let the universe bring you your other soulmate, who's circling right near here, by the way. So, you know, God knows your clock is ticking. God gave you that biological clock. So love comes from God, and it's really here. But you have to be honest that this is not making you happy anymore.
Is that second soulmate that's coming into the picture, is it someone that I've crossed paths with before?
It's possible. It's possible that you have met him, but I'm not so sure about that because this is a very strong soulmate. If you met him, you know, this is a soulmate who wants to commit. So it's almost going to be like an instant connection between the two of you. He's ready, she's ready. He said if he's scared, she's scared with what you got going on with Juan.
Mm-hmm.
So but if you think there's one that you've crossed in the past, you could pursue that also. But
well,
just
his name
be
is
careful.
His name is Chris, and that's someone
and
that I'd like to get to know better.
Okay, and why haven't you gotten to know him better?
It's not him.
No, but why haven't you gotten to know him better already?
You know, I have to engineer it. He's in a group of people that I associate with, but we're not connected. But I've known who he is my entire life because of that group of people. I would have to engineer it.
Well, engineer it. See what happens. What do you got to lose? You know, sometimes soulmates are brought as much as 20 years or 25 years and 30 years ahead. It's just that we're not ready for them. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a good place for you to start. And, you know, just I wish you a lot of luck in moving forward with this. But just have the courage to be honest, you know, and say, Juan, you know, I like you, I care about you, but I don't want to be wasting my time.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Well,
really
good luck to you,
and
call us and let us know what happens with Chris.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Bye. Okay. Nicole, I see that you've got a few calls screened already.
I do.
Okay.
So we're going to go over to Crystal, who is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And, you know, she's been dating, and there's one guy in particular that she's questioning right now, and she'd like to know what's going on with him.
Boy, that's a good question, right?
I love it. Hello,
and
Crystal,
you know
you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Crystal, how are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
We're doing great here. You know, usually, you know, in my book, I address this issue. If you have to ask a psychic what a guy's feeling, it's not a good sign.
Right.
You know, normally in asking the question, there's a problem.
Right.
And,
well, there is a problem, but that's the confusion part.
Right. I mean, he's giving you a lot of mixed messages. You know,
mm-hmm.
he cares about you, and then, you know, he'll pull back. How long have you been dating him?
Well, we've known each other. We still remain friends, but we've known each other for about a year, and it's been, like, off and on. Now, he seems to always go back to his ex-girlfriend, and we're still friends, but I will never take it to another level because I don't know that he's actually trustworthy, but he always seems to come back.
Well, it's because this man has massive of abandonment, and his girlfriend and him, like, from these cards, are pretty toxic. And toxic
mm-hmm.
relationships have an unconscious contract. No matter what you do or I do, we never abandon each other. Throw acid in my face and you stay. Cheat on me and I take you back. He knows
mm-hmm.
no matter what he does, she'll be in his life. He's not that so sure about you. He's got a lot of anger issues of his own. Cellmates as opposed to soulmates. They're cellmates, two people chained together with fear. His own anger issues is what keeps him with her because he could rage behind closed doors with her like a lunatic. And he does.
Mm-hmm.
And she
mm-hmm.
rages with him, and it's okay. What is he going to do with that anger if he comes to you? He would take your relationship and drag it down from something precious to something toxic. I mean, he
mm-hmm.
has his own anger issues, this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your generation, how old are you, by the way? I'm thinking you're probably under the age of 30.
Yeah, I'm going to be 28 in about a week or so.
Okay, because your generation has a lot of what I call triangular relationships. He's got 1 foot with his ex, 1 foot with you, you know, and it's always a triangle. And your generation are such major commitment phobics. It's friends with benefits, hookups, booty calls. That
I know.
They have trouble committing toward relationships. He is a commitment phobic, and you might say, well, he's been with his girlfriend. But he really hasn't. He's a committed commitment phobic. He's got 1 foot with her, 1 foot out the door. And he's not committed heart, soul, mind, and body. He comes home with his body and rages with her, but his heart, soul, and mind is elsewhere. So don't be fooled by people, anybody out there listening, just because they're married or they've been in a long-term relationship does not mean they're not afraid of commitment. Only 1% of Americans are not afraid of commitment. They're truly committed, heart, soul, mind, and body. For you, you have your own commitment issues and the fact that you tolerate him. You know, as a sisterhood of women, I think we have to start boycotting men. If they're going back to their exes, then you've made a choice. And as a sisterhood of women, you have to respect, even if she's crazy, even if whatever, he's chosen her, and until he could take 2 feet out and bring 2 feet to you, you know, it's not okay for men to have their cake and eat it too. We don't want to go back to that. And, you know, he cares about you a lot. People are running from a higher love because a higher love demands healing. You can't be a mean son of a bitch. You can't be reliving your parents' nonsense marriage. You can't be an alcoholic, a drug addict, a cheater. And so he doesn't know if he could come up to the plate and be the man that you think he is. You're bringing out the best in him. He also has a very dark side here, and she knows it. And they bring out the worst in each other. And, you know, she's the person that will be plotting to get pregnant, by the way, to entrap him and to keep him. And he is sleeping with her. And, and you know, not to make you scared, but she'll sleep around just to get him mad. And I don't want you to catch venereal disease because she's screwing around just to hurt him. And you know, I'm a very liberal person. I really don't care if somebody wants to sleep with 900 people. It's none of my business. But I do advocate you tell all 900 people what you're doing so they can choose if they want that and that you practice safe sex. You know, the two of them are really and you don't want to catch venereal disease, correct?
Mm-mm, no, that's my worst fear because I've been, you know, I don't, that's why I don't.
Well, you have a grandma who you have a grandma who passed away. Do you remember her?
Oh, she was my best friend.
Right, and she's the one saying, I wanted you to call Cindy because over her dead body, do you get venereal disease from this man? This woman, if she's mad at him, she'll just go pick somebody up just to get mad, just to get even. And, you know, she's a very self-destructive girl, and you don't really need, you know, because she's got an angry, hissy fit and picks up some, you know, scuzzball in a bar. You don't need to, you know, have the gift that goes on giving for the rest of your life. So pretty much having the courage to love yourself the way you would love your own daughter. If a man were doing this to your daughter, would you think it's okay?
No, absolutely not.
Would you be furiously mad that he could bring your daughter a disease that could possibly kill her?
Absolutely, and he knows that too. He does know that, like, I mean, I haven't really been seeing him. Like, he's been trying to hang out again. I know that he's with her, so that I try not to. We are friendly because there's some sort of weird connection with us.
Well, of course, he started out as soulmates. There was this, you know, we have 30 soulmates on the planet. The universe brought you because he had a little bit of good karma, and they wanted him to get away from her and choose soulmate love, choose to heal, come to the plate. But it's not soulmate love now because he's cheating on you. And the ladder of love romantically goes from soulmate at the top of the ladder to toxic at the bottom. There's sort of a mediocre sitcom type marriage in the middle where sometimes we love you, sometimes we hate you and take each other for granted. That's one ladder of love. The soulmate or friendship ladder is another ladder. You can't go from soulmate lovers to friends unless you don't want to sleep with him anymore because it's just not fair to you. There's two different ladders. He's not really your friend. Friends don't bring you venereal disease. You know, and
I have just recently got checks, but do you see that that's what he has now? Or
I'm just saying that because she'll do something on the spur of the moment. Maybe he doesn't have disease now, but she'll go out in 5 minutes. If he's mean to her, she'll go out and pick somebody up in 5 minutes. You know,
she's conniving.
She should have it.
Mm-hmm.
She's that kind of a girl. And she does things without thinking. And for your own benefit, it's, you know, having the courage to tell him, I can't be your friend because I don't want to be just your friend. I want to be more. And this is very painful to me. You've chosen her. Please don't call me, text me, unless you're coming back to me. And when he calls you or texts you, you have to have the courage to say, what's your intention in calling me? Is it to stick 2 feet and make this work? If not, please don't call me, and be very firm on it, because that will force him to miss you. Right now, he doesn't miss you. He has both of you. You know, and he's choosing a lower love. It's not uncommon. When you go in the car later on and you're driving, out of 5 love songs, you're going to hear 3 about the love that got away, the soulmate that didn't make it. One is Pink singing, "I was never this nasty before you came into my life." And one's about soulmates being together. You know, think about all the bad relationships, you know, that people are staying in too long, all the mediocre relationships where they whine and complain but never leave. And there's so few really heart, soul, mind, body committed relationships where people are two equals that it's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because people don't want to
heal. I've had a really
bad
relationship with my son's father. I have a 9-year-old, and I was with my son's father from 16 on, and that was like the most energy draining, heart wrenching type thing I've ever can go through. So
you realize you couldn't fix him.
Right, I can't fix him. I can't fix him. I can't fix him in any type of way. I thank him for letting me learn that, because I stick to people and I stick by people for too long. So
well,
I think that's
what my mission
that
is.
Lesson.
Well, your mission right now in life is to teach that you don't have to be loyal to people who don't deserve your loyalty. And that, you know, this is the same thing. It's the lessons you didn't learn from your ex, you're learning from this guy. You're being loyal to a man who does not deserve your loyalty. You're not going to fix him. You're not going to rescue him. He's a pathological liar at some level, not as bad as your ex, but this man lies a lot. And, you know, we always have to relive our parents' marriage, the one we saw before the age of 5. What was your parents' marriage like?
They were married 20 years and divorced, but it was not a good marriage.
Okay, so you've already relived it. Can you see that your mom couldn't fix your dad? Your dad can't fix your mom. People can't fix each other. Can you know, you have some issues having judged them, thinking that, you know, if I were married, we all do this. If I were married, I'd know how to fix him. If I were married, I'd never fight. If I were married, he'd always be lovey-dovey because I'd be so sweet. You can realize that people can't be fixed.
Right,
and
I do.
You know, if you've ever judged anybody who's had an affair, you're essentially having an affair with this man. You know, so it's also a lesson, and let's not judge other people.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of lessons here for you. You have your own fears of commitment, and so you're staying with a man who can't commit to you. Are you learning that you want?
I am dating right now. Like, I've dated a few different guys. I think what it is I'm so kind of, I don't want to say cold. But I look at them like, what's your intention?
Well, that's a good thing. You want to know what's your intention and, you know, be a little bit honest and tell them you're looking for a committed relationship for your child's sake. What you keep showing that child is love starts out good and then it stinks. Love starts out good and then it stinks. Your generation are commitment phobics because they can't commit to the word relationships. Your child is the generation that won't even want relationships, period. They'll play with their electronics all day long and never be in the same room with a member of the opposite sex or the same sex or whatever it's going to be. They don't want love relationships. So God wants to bring you a soulmate so your child could see if you leave a toxic relationship, you get something better. Isn't that what you want your child to see?
Absolutely. Like,
and a good male role model, a good male role model as well.
Because I don't think my son's father's going to actually stick around, coming and going and not doing his responsibilities, and girls are more important to him.
Right, and at this point, it's, you know, you, looks like you'll have another child in the future. You're a good mom. Your son's got a good heart. But for you, it's embracing the fact that, you know, you're wasting time with this man. It's the same lessons from your ex that you're going to learn from this guy. People get the level of love they want. You know, he deserves her, she deserves him, until he stops, you know, raging and having his own issues. So,
you see another relationship coming in for me?
Yes, I do. I mean, it's amazing because soulmate love comes from God and from someone who's crossed over. Your grandma has a wonderful soulmate pick for you.
Mm-hmm.
She's just saying you have to overcome your fear of loving somebody who could die on you. That's the real fear of soulmate love. What if I love you heart, soul, mind, and body, and you leave me through death? And we're all afraid of that. It's scary, but what I try to prove is that love never dies. that death ends a life but not a relationship, and that if our soulmate should die in us, we will be granted another one. So, you know, your grandma's saying, I'm going to bring this guy on, but I want you not to run away afraid.
Yeah,
and this was a beautiful pregnancy in the near future, by the way, with this man. You know, within the next 5 years, you're going to definitely be married and with another child and really, really happy.
Oh, that's great to hear.
And,
you know, actually, one of my good friends just passed. He always wanted a romantic interest in me, and he passed in a motorcycle. And I always say now that that's why I felt that coming. That he was
right, and you need to know that he's never going to leave you. But I was wondering who the young man who supplied me some information about what happens behind closed doors with the guy you were talking about. Dead people are like a fly on the wall. They tell me what they've seen. They're like a camera. He's the one who's telling you, stay away from that guy. You deserve better. So, you know, that's something
there's a guy
for you
Mike
to keep
I've
in.
Been seeing. Is there anything good with him? I think he's a guy named Mike I've been seeing.
Mike is okay guy. Again, it's, you know, have you talked about having a relationship with him?
No, because we've spent time together, and he's, like, real sweet in what he does. But I also feel like there's a hidden part with him. Like, I have a very strong purpose on I've never gotten into drugs or anything like that in my life. But there's something that gives me a vibe that with him, that's hidden.
Right, because
he is
hiding something. And we've been brainwashed not to trust our psychic abilities. You have been fooled way too many times by the princes that become the beast. They show you one face, and then there's another. Your gut telling you he's up to no good is as strong as if you saw evidence of hidden Vicodin or oxycodone or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Your gut, believe me, is a strong radar. And
I'm intuitive, but
right, and we tend to not want to trust it. So again, you don't want to bring someone with addictions into your child's life, anywhere near your child. People who are abusing drugs are extremely dangerous in your children.
Yes, they're evil. I actually don't introduce anybody to my son. I only introduced actually the first one that we were talking about. That was the only guy that's ever actually met my son.
Good,
I
and it's good for
on
you.
That.
Right, because you want to protect and keep safe. Well, you have a beautiful light around you, Crystal, and I wish you a lot of luck in the future. And please call us and let us know when your soulmate manifests, because it looks like it's coming very soon.
Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
I hope it helps. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Nicole, were you listening to that? Wasn't she delightful?
Of course I was. She really was.
She has such good energy surrounding her.
Oh, yep.
And I saw you screened one from Don from Long Island.
Yes, I did screen Don. He actually called a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, he was having some relationship issues. Well, this past weekend, the relationship ended rather badly. There were cops called. He said, don't worry, he didn't hit anybody or anything, but he did lose it a little bit.
Okay.
And basically what he would like to know is it completely over, you know, with this woman? And he would also like to know is what's going to happen legally out of this. So we're going to speak to Don on Long Island.
Okay. How you doing today?
Hi, Don.
Hey, Don.
I see a good outcome legally for this, but you're going to have to stay away from her.
Yeah.
She's a person who's a narcissist and a manipulator and a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Those are dangerous people because when they get in a mood, they'll make up stories. Like right now, if it looks as if you two part your ways and certain amount of time passes, you'll be okay. But if you keep going back with her, because does she have an order of protection against you right now?
Of course.
Okay. If you violate that order of protection and you have a little fight with her, say you're getting along well. The order of protection's on. You're sleeping. Everything's fine. You do one thing wrong, she'll call the police again. And do you live in Suffolk County, by the way?
Yes.
In Suffolk County, they have the toughest laws. You will go to jail for a year.
Right.
And that, it's serious, Don. This is, you know, she called the police on you, she will do it again. And, you know, it's up to you to realize this is as toxic as love gets.
Right.
I mean, I saw toxic love cellmates and in a courtroom, a jail, a morgue, or an emergency room. And she's pushing your crazy buttons, by the way, because cellmates bring out the worst in each other.
Yep.
There's something for you to learn. Don, you're a very nice guy. I can tell that. Now, you're a nice man, and you just got involved in toxic love. I hope you don't judge other people anymore. Did you learn from this?
Our relationship was just, I actually had a call before, and it was kind of the same thing, you know what I mean? Kill each other, but then still go back to each other.
Well, that's what toxic love is. Throw acid in my face, and I take you back. The problem is she changed the rules here. As long as she didn't call the police on you and there wasn't an order of protection, you guys can rage like lunatics behind closed doors, and there's no big consequences other than the two of you might, you know, just have a heart attack from screaming. At this point, this can land you a year in jail.
Right.
And it's all good in the eyes of God. You have a grandfather who passed away, by the way?
Yes.
Because he's the one talking. He's saying, you know, you may hate me for this, Don, but I popped the thought in her head. What does that mean? Dead people pop thoughts in the head to call the police. Uh-huh. Why would your grandfather do this? Because he wants you to get away from her. And that this has made it so that you have to get away from her.
Right.
And, you know, if you care about yourself enough, you know, I have thousands of clients. I have seen men land in jail for a year because they were suckers and just, you know, said, oh, she won't call the police on me.
Right.
And, you know, she has a bad temper. She has anger issues. You also have some anger issues of your own to work on. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, well, only when it comes to her.
Okay, only. Well, that's what we think, okay, but cellmates serve a purpose. All of us, anybody who's lived on this planet more than 5 years has anger issues.
Right.
And we find somebody who we can rage with behind closed doors and then look normal in the outside world. We talk to them, act in a way we'd never do to anybody else. If you notice the man that guns down 20 strangers, he never has a cellmate. He doesn't have someone to rage with behind closed doors. So he doesn't have that outlet. You know, you need to acknowledge that, you know, people can bring out the worst in us, but if we are healed in terms of handling our anger, we walk away before we do this. We don't like who we are, and we say, look, I don't like how I'm behaving to you, and you get out of it. You don't stay raging.
Right.
And, you know, she has major anger issues. Some of them are sexual abuse and other things that are, you know, I don't know how much you know about her past.
Yeah, not everything, obviously.
Okay, and people who have been sexually abused often have extreme rage issues. If you ever read enough about someone who's gunned down strangers, they've always been sexually abused.
Right.
It's an anger and a rage, and until it's addressed, they're also excessively jealous, sexually abused people, because if you've been abused by your own father, your brother, you know, your mother, how do you trust anybody near your lover?
Right.
You know, anybody is not to be trusted. So the combination of jealousy, rage, there looks like there was some alcohol in the picture. Were you guys drinking or something, too?
No, not this weekend, no.
Okay, there was no drugs or alcohol here?
Oh, no.
Okay, because if you start putting any of that in it, you know you're really going to have a nightmare.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Okay, and so just know that the combination of the jealousy and the issues, she needs therapy.
Right.
And, you know, at this point, you did start out as soulmates, heart, soul, mind, body, love, but now it's become really toxic.
Right.
You know, you guys need a timeout, and the universe is forcing you to have a timeout. Let you miss her, her miss you. Maybe she'll get the therapy she needs. You can work on your issues. Maybe in the future you could come back together as healed beings. But it looks like the outcome is very good legally if you stay away from her.
All right. No issues with my daughter, because with her order of protection, I had to go to family court because I can't see my daughter now because we have a 3-year-old daughter.
Right. And They probably will make some arrangements in which someone else can pick up your daughter for you.
Right.
You know, you can work on that. But did you air this in front of your 3-year-old daughter? Did she witness this?
Yeah, she did.
Okay, now, you love your daughter, correct?
Of course, yes.
Do you want to doom her to this kind of relationship?
Absolutely not.
This was, you know, I watched my parents when I was little. My father was a violent, crazy man at some level. It's really traumatizes children. I blessed my parents now because they were part of my mission. I understood what soulmates could start out as soulmates and then become toxic. I learned so much about what I learned from watching them, observing them. But if God asked me again to be born into dysfunction like that, I'd tell him, hell no.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. And, you know, your daughter is frightened right now. She loves both of her parents. She has no idea why this is going on. And for your daughter's sake, do you want to land in jail where you can't support her or see her for a year?
Yeah, no, of course not.
And, you know, it's one of those things when you go to family court, no matter what, you know, she says in front of the judge, do not plug in, do not let her get you angry.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise the judge is going to side with her against you.
Right.
So you're going to have to try very hard to be calm about this. Again, I want you to love, you know, your daughter enough to say, we got to work on this. This is not good.
Right.
And, you know, unfortunately, once the police are brought in family court, you know, if you and your wife play this wrong, you could both lose her. Do you understand that?
Yes.
And if you love your daughter, then find a way to seek the help that you need and that she needs. And, you know, the outcome looks good here for you, even in terms of you seeing your daughter, because there's no evidence that you've ever hurt her or anything.
Oh, yeah,
like
no,
that.
Never. God, never.
You know, it may have to be like your mom has to pick her up or somebody. Do you know what I'm
right.
saying? See if you can work something out like that with the judge. But how long is the order of protection for, do you know?
Oh, it's temporary until we have to go back to court in August, I think, 25th.
Right, and because you have a daughter and because this was aired in front of her,
right.
they may sustain the order of protection longer, by the way.
Uh-huh.
So that's something for you to keep in mind. And you need to say, you know, to you know, be very, you know, honest that whatever the judge sees fit and best for your, as far as your daughter goes, but that you want to be able to see her.
Right.
And it looks pretty good. Again, now you know what true toxic love is, and it's really not good.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty common. Nice people get involved in it. And again, you're not going to fix her. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, you know, I just was kind of holding out possible hope because for my daughter's sake. You know, our highest of highs and lowest of lows is basically the relationship. Or what?
Right. And again, you want passion without drama. There's way too much drama in this relationship.
Yep.
And again, you know, we don't mean to get so crazy, but when you're really involved in that heat of the moment, you know, things could happen that you will later regret.
Right.
And, you know, it's one of those things, learn from this and realize the two of you are toxic together, and if you don't want to lose custody of your daughter and being able to see her, you're going to have to find a way to you know, work this out without all the anger that you feel toward her, you know, your daughter's mother.
Right, right.
I mean, good luck to you. And again, it's all good because in the long run, this might prevent the two of you from killing each other.
Right, right.
You know, if my ex-husband used to want to have a gun in the house, I said, what are you kidding? The only reason you're alive is we don't have a gun in the house.
I took all mine.
If I had a frying pan, I'd hit him over the head with it and kill him. Do you know?
Yeah, I took all mine out a couple of years ago because of that.
Right, you know what I'm talking about, but it doesn't mean that she could be slicing, you know, bread and you say something and that knife goes in your heart, you know.
Sure.
People can sometimes, you know, that's why you don't go to jail forever when it's a moment of passion, because human beings can just lose it for a second, but it's one of those things, you're not proud of what you showed your daughter.
Yeah,
and for your daughter's sake, you need to move on, and the universe will bring you a soulmate because you deserve that, and your daughter deserves to see what good love looks like. But, you know, again, you know, just keep, you know, praying to God that the outcome is fair and that your daughter gets to see you, because she's really scared too, you know.
Right, right. Yeah, well, fair enough.
Okay, good luck to you, and please let us know what happens with the court case, and good luck. We'll say a prayer for you.
Thanks. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, Nicole, boy, I mean, I've been there, done that.
I know.
It's not pleasant. It's not pleasant. We're not proud of those moments in our lives, you know?
No, we're not. And, you know, I mean, the important thing is that even though you do have those indiscretions that you know, that you learn from them, which I think that he wants to do, so that's good.
Absolutely. And, okay, Nicole, where are we off to now? I see
we are off to Raleigh, North Carolina right now. We are going to go and speak to Rebecca. And
okay.
She wants to know what you see relationship-wise. And now these are her words, not mine. She's been in an 8-year relationship with a commitment phobe.
Oh, good. She knows the terminology.
She knows the terminology, Cindy. So we're going to go and cruise over to Rebecca and see what's what.
Okay.
Hello, Rebecca. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you. Good evening.
Hi, Rebecca. Boy, we know about those commitment phobes. And, you know, usually relationships work in 5-year cycles. And by the time you hit the 10-year mark, this is either going to be, you know, do or die here. You had your own commitment phobia. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I am.
Okay, because
I stuck in this situation as long as I
could. Okay, that's all I need you to understand. There's usually, you know, sometimes, you know, we can say, oh, you know, he can't commit to me. I want him to commit. But that sort of gets us off the hook if we're closet commitment phobics, because then we could say, well, it's not my fault. I'd commit if he wanted to. I'd do. But now you're overcoming your commitment phobia. You're ready to have a committed relationship. He's not outgrowing his commitment phobia. You are. So he served a good purpose. He got you to be evolved enough where you're ready for a committed soulmate relationship. You should bless him because his fears have made you evolve. And, you know, you had a lot of courage when you were a little girl, and you need some of that courage now. I mean, there's a payoff in staying with the devil we know. He's the devil we know. You know, this is what it is. Maybe if I get out in the real dating world, I'm going to really get hurt. Because if we stay with a person long enough, they don't hurt us anymore. We start to realize he's not going to commit to me. We get a little indifferent. But you might be a little afraid of going out in there and putting your heart out again into the dating world. Is that scaring you a bit?
I'm trying. I'm just disappointed because the moment I met Todd and my ex-husband, for that matter, I met them and I knew I was supposed to be with them. I remember being with my ex-boyfriend in previous lives. Like, it was just all knowing, and every, you know, the guys I'm dating right now, I'm kind of like, well, he's nice, but not, you know, I don't.
Okay, because they're not soulmates. And we have about 30 soulmates, so you're right. You've had soulmates. It's an instant recognition factor. But just because we start out as soulmates, we all start out as soulmates when we first incarnated our very first lifetime, but our karma has made us be something else. So although these relationships started out as soulmates, without commitment and commitment to healing, they've become toxic. And soulmate love equals peace, love, joy, healing. Toxic love equals pain. And at this point, you're almost looking for a man to fit a plan where you're dating. You know, they're not soulmates. If you're desperate to get married, these are men to fit a plan. The universe would ask you to stand on your own 2 feet a little bit without a man, because that's when the prince truly comes. We're whole onto ourselves. You would be offered another soulmate, but right now you sort of got 1 foot with him, 1 foot out the door. And you really, you know, are kind of keeping him at bay in case, you know, he's like your fallback guy now. And the universe is calling you on that behavior. They need for you to be strong by yourself and love yourself enough to say you deserve better than that. And, you know, of course, date and have fun.
but the universe probably isn't going to bring you that other soulmate until you karmically correct and the one you're with. And that's by telling him, I love you, but I can't do this anymore. And I'm taking 2 feet out and let him miss you. I mean, you might be surprised. He might come back ready to commit to you. He just doesn't believe you're going to walk away from him.
I felt
like
I did that.
And you did. You're doing that now, and you're not talking to him or communicating. Okay, and you haven't talked to him since?
Well, no, I haven't.
No, you got no talking, no texting, no communication. And when he calls you, you say, excuse me, are you ready to put 2 feet in here and marry me and commit or not? Then don't call me. Because as soon as he still knows he's got you, even if 2 months goes by and he calls and you're kind of nice to him, you go out for coffee, he says, oh, she's still mine. It's commitment phobics will bring us close and throw us back, close and throw us back. You will be granted another soulmate, but you need a little bit of courage to really, really stand on your own 2 feet without him. You know, this relationship...
That's discouraging because I feel like now that I realize it, I feel like I've really been alone for 8 years.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? Because it started out as soulmates, and then he quickly began to water it down or, you know, not commit and not do this and that. Maybe it was safe. It was a safe level of love for you. It became, people will take love, and it doesn't mean they bring it down to all the way to toxic. They just bring it down to mediocre and taking each other for granted and not communicating and not making love and not really being intimate. Those are the hardest relationships to leave because they're not really bad. They're not really good. But it isn't soulmates anymore. And, you know, that's why you've probably been settling, because it's okay. But do you want that intimate connection with a person again? You know, that really heart, soul, mind connected? Because that will be brought to you. And, you know, it's up to you to decide, I don't want to be taken for granted anymore. Nor do I want to take somebody for granted. And anybody's out there who's listening, if you've got a soulmate relationship that you're not communicating and you're not really talking, that's a pretty dangerous position because, you know, after a number of years, you get lonely and someone will come along and, you know, be a threat to your relationship. So for you, you have a wonderful 5-year period ahead of you. Anything that you want is yours, including a committed relationship.
Really?
It just calls you to be strong. And there's actually a husband card here, a man that will marry you, commit to you, and love you. You just have to have that courage. You know, whether it's going to be the man you're with, you know, or another man, it's hard to tell right now because you haven't really given him time to miss you.
Yeah,
he just thinks you'll always be... Because you have what?
He's not always going to be here. You know, he has terminal cancer that he's actually been living beyond, you know.
And that might be why he was afraid to keep it soulmate. You were afraid to keep it soulmate. I mean, if he has terminal cancer, why wouldn't he want to love you with every breath that he has left on earth? What is he, you know, are you afraid to love him that way because he's can die on you?
No, I do. My fear is that he'll end up leaving and it won't be fixed. He won't heal. He won't spiritually be where he
needs
to
be. Right, and again, it isn't your job to fix him. Cancers, diseases, financial ruin, earthquakes are God's wake-up calls. He's not waking up from this call. The next wake-up call may be death for him. Death is a wake-up call. Talking to dead people is a brutal thing to do. After they die, 2 seconds they're dead, they go, oh, my God, why? Can you please tell her how much I love her? Can you please tell her I'm sorry? Could you please tell her if I could come back, I'd do it better? Why don't you love while you're here? And, you know, you've probably been staying thinking, well, you know, let me be here while I can. But at this point, you know, he could live, you know, a long time. He could live a minute. But is this how you want to live your life?
No. Nope.
And if you walk away and that makes his cancer accelerate in your eyes and he dies faster, so be it. It's not your intention to hurt him in leaving him. It's your intention that you want to walk the path of love, and he can walk it with you or he can walk without you. And, you know, he's a person who has a lot of fears. And, again, Cancer has a lot of components of anger turned inward and people not healing their issues. We always have Cancer growing in our bodies. Why does it sometimes get out of control and other times we just keep fighting it? It's the level of anger that we have inside of us. And he's got a lot of unhealed issues. And, again, yeah. Afterlife, we learn in spirit, and we get another lifetime here. So it isn't really your job to be his savior or to rescue him. It's your job to be a messenger, deliver the message of love to him, and give him a choice.
And I basically did. When you said walk with me or walk without me, I basically said that, and just was like,
And it took a lot of courage for you to say that. It took a lot of courage. And, again, God will give us wake-up calls. He prefers to give us through love, peace, and joy. Soulmate is a wake-up call. Why don't more people wake up from that soulmate love? Why do you wait till then God brings you disaster and death and illness and financial ruin or whatever it is? For you, tell him from your heart what you feel and wish him well and see if he comes toward you. He doesn't want to lose you.
And my loved ones on the other side are always there to help guide things, to help me.
Right, and they're actually popping thoughts in your head. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? Do you know what I'm saying? And he's a man who, at the end of his life, is going to feel like you're the one who brought him everything he wanted. He's going to have a lot of regrets and remorse. Again, that really isn't your problem. Maybe at the hour of his death, he will make amends to you. It may wait till that moment. And, my mom passed away recently, and it wasn't till the hours of my mother's death that she told me she loved me and made some amends to me. Sometimes it takes that long for people. I would hope we all tell each other how much we love each other while we have a chance, while we're on earth, to love the best that we can.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to you. We only have a few minutes left. I need Nicole to do her shout-outs, and thank you for calling us. Please let us know what happens.
I sure will. Thank you, and y'all have a good evening. Good.
You too.
Good luck, hon.
Okay, Nicole.
Thank you.
Boy. Nicole, isn't the world filled with so much sorrow? Sometimes it's just overwhelming.
No, that is very, very true. But, you know, you're going to find sorrow no matter where you go. You know, there's always going to be, the exact opposite, of what you expect. There's always going to be that paradigm there, but just because there's sorrow doesn't mean that you don't love. It doesn't mean that you shut down, because sometimes it is that sorrow that creates the form for you to actually express the feelings that you have. You know, sometimes it is the pain that allows you to confide in somebody in a way that you wouldn't normally if everything was just roses and happiness and such. So sometimes you have to take, any of that pain and everything, and you have to use it to your advantage and make that the reason to love more, to express yourself more, to tell the people, that you love them every single day. I mean, not for anything, Cindy, and this is a very, very true story. A friend of mine works over at Cactus Salon in Huntington, just bought a house. Okay, and for those of you Long Islanders who watch News 12, you guys know what happened.
There was a van in there, right?
Well, what wound up happening was a friend of mine was working there. She just bought a house. At the last possible minute, she had to call in sick to work to wait for the central air guy. And as she's sitting at home waiting for the central air guy, who did not show and ran extremely, extremely late that day, a woman unfortunately lost control of her vehicle, drove through Cactus Salon, injuring several people, as well as herself.
No.
And had my friend been standing in Cactus that day, then, she probably would have been struck by this vehicle because her station was exactly where the car had gone. If that is not a wake-up call to tell the people, you never know what could happen. It could be a car going through a building. It could be something like cancer. It could be a number of different things. The bottom line is, guys, if you care about somebody, let them know it. If you're angry, say, I'm angry at you right now,
but I still love you just because I'm angry. You know, tell them how you feel. Because you know what? You might wait for tomorrow, but you might not get it.
Exactly. And it's funny because one of my clients, Sal, works in that salon too, and I've been in that salon, and boy, I was like, I can't believe that story. So.
Oh, my God. It really was a very, very sad story, and I felt very, very bad, you know, for the woman because, you know, I think she was a little bit older from what I heard. I don't know all of the specifics.
74,
but she,
I think they said.
Yeah, I mean, she was a little bit older, and, you know, I mean, she just, you know, she made a mistake, you know, and she injured herself and she injured other people, and, you know, I mean, and it was just that quick, you know. I'm sure that when she woke up that day, she never imagined that she could have done what she had just done, you know, so just... It's hard sometimes, but you have to be able to just open up your eyes and open up your arms and tell the person or the people in your life that you do care about them while you're here and not wait to find somebody like Cindy that can interpret the message when it's, you know, when you're already gone.
That's true. Please say it now.
Yeah,
please
Cindy can't
say it
have
now. Stop talking to me every second. Well, anyway, everybody have a great week, and we'll and actually, Nicole, next
yes.
week.
Yes.
Is that the week I'm not doing the show, or am I doing the show? I might be doing
the
show.
Next week I believe, the weekend is the 14th.
Okay, just want to make sure and check on that.
Okay. No, I'm positive
on.
It's the 14th.
Yeah, but that show, yes, we do.
Okay, so the show is on that Thursday.
Okay, just wanted to check. All right,
all right,
so
awesome.
We'll all speak next week. Bye.
All right, bye, guys.